Vadi for Shabbos Parshas Bamidbar. Two Beret Lecha Parshas Bamidbar, and then a thought regarding Megillas Ros, which we will be learning on Shulis. I saw a few nice thoughts regarding the counting of Klal Yisrael. One is an idea which is found both in the Ponim Yafai, written by the Hafla, and in the Teres Maisha of the Chassam Sefer, Rebbe and the Talmud, although they disagree on what is sort of the punchline to the Vart. Question is that when you look at every Shevet, it says Livnei with a Lamed. Livnei Ruvei, Livnei Shimon, Livnei God, Livnei Yehuda, Taldai Samlam, Shukai Samlam, Beisavai Samlam, Nisma Shevet. When it comes to say the number, it says to the Shevet of God, to the children of God, to the children of Yehuda, etc. Except by the last Shevet. The last Shevet is Naphtali. And there it says B'nei Naphtali, not Libnei Naphtali. This is all Perek Aleph. And the question is, why by Naphtali is different than it says B'nei Naphtali? So the Hafla says a beautiful part. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu knew the sum total of all of the Jews that were between the ages of 20 and 60, because they had each given a Machzis HaShekel towards the building of the Mishkan, which had just been completed. And by counting up the Shkalim, he knew precisely how many men between the ages of 20 and 60 had given a Machzis HaShekel, so that he knew the total, the sum total of all of the Shvatim together. Still, he had to count each Shevet. Once having counted the 11 Shvatim, he could easily have calculated the number of the 12th Shevet, simply by totaling the 11 Shvatim, deducting it from the total, which he knew. And what was left were the number of the total numbers of Naphtali. And therefore, it says, B'nei Naphtali. That it didn't have to count the B'nei Naphtali. Once he counted the 11, it was automatic that B'nei Naphtali, Tal Beis Tam Nishvah Chasam, Le Beis Tam Beis Tam, the number was 53,400. It's a nice bar. The difference is that the Hafla says that they did not count the B'nai Naphtali. Since the number was known, there was no need to count, and no counting took place. Some Sefer says, no, they did count the B'nai Naphtali, just as they counted the rest, the Mispar Shemais. And the remez of B'nai Naphtali is that the number was known, but that they actually counted. Some Sefer brings a reason for his opinion. There's a Ramban on Pasuk Mem Hei, here in the first parakah of Bamidbar. The Ramban says that it's hard to know why it was important to count Klal Yisrael. And in his explanation, he writes the following. He says that for Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, the two Kedemei Adar, to come to the individuals and to count them was an ayin tayiv. It was something which brought blessing to the people. And that ayin tayiv was the entire reason for the counting. The whole reason that it was Moshe and Aaron personally who did it and didn't appoint surrogates or appointees to do the counting. And that's the reason that they counted, despite the fact that they really knew the total number of people that were there. They counted again, says the Ramban, so that this Ayin Tov could be foul. And for that reason, even the B'nai Naphtali, whose number was known, were also counted. A footnote in the Pachad Yitzchak writes that this idea of an Ayin Tov mentioned by the Ramban is the source of all bracha and Olam Hazeh. When the Rabbi Shalom created the world at the end of creation, the pasuk says, "Vayar Hashem es kol asher asa, v'hinei tov ma'id." God observed everything that had been created, and it was exceedingly good. And with that, "Vayar v'ibayka yam hashishi," and with that, the world was set in place and functioned. Our father says that this ayin tov to which the Ramban alludes is that that blessing. And when someone looks with a good eye at things, that itself gives blessing to the Bria itself, and we find that in regard to human beings and their behavior and their happiness. Human beings who have an eye in tayyib, that look at things with a good eye, tend to be happier people. It brings bracha to the world. Human beings who look at things with an angry eye or with a jealous eye are themselves less happy and themselves have less sibuk, less simcha, less joy in the world. that the side, as he calls it, the secret, that an Ayin Tayyiv brings bracha, but certainly the Ayin Tayyiv of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKayin. So as it turns out, the Chassam Sofer is saying that it depends on the reason for the counting. If you learn to count it to know the total number, then the Haflah is right. There's no need to count Naftali. They knew the total number, they knew the 12 individual numbers, the amounts for each Shaden. However, if you go with the Ramban's Mahalach, that the counting was so that there should be a Ayin Tayyiv on the Klal Yisrael, then the B'nai Naftali were counted as well. So in a very nice bar in B'Shem Rebbeinu's Aipshitz, it says that the counting should be L'gul Galaisam. It says so in every one of the Shvatim. It says the Mispar Shema'is L'gul Galaisam. It says consistently, by Ruvein, by Shimon, by God, as you read through the parasha, it constantly tells you that they counted L'gul Galaisam. However, when it comes to the Levian, the counting of the Levian in the other parasha does not say L'gul Galaisam. The question is, why the Shinoi from the other Shvatim to Levi? Beres and Aipshit says a sharp terrace. L'gul Galaisam means to their heads. Question is, if you have a person who has two heads, how would he be counted in this counting? As one person or as two? Well, logically, he should be counted as one. But the word L'gul Galaisam implies he's counted as two. Well, says Beres and Aipshit, we know there's a concept in traces that kol yeser can nafal dami. If someone has an extra limb, it affects him as if that original limb was missing. In other words, if someone has two heads, the understanding would be that he would be a treifa, he could not survive. And therefore, he says, by the other shvatim, who accounted for the age of 20 and older, it's safe to use the word l'gul galaisam. Even if there had been someone born with two heads, you would not be alive at the age of 20. There's no need to be Mishana. The expression L'gul Galaisam is very appropriate. By the Levim, however, who accounted for the age of 30 days, it was theoretically possible that there was a child that had two heads. And that therefore the L'gul Galaisam method of counting would be inaccurate. That's why L'gul Galaisam does not appear there. Very sharp. Thought, a very sharp part. A third thought regarding the counting of Klal Yisrael and the Mispar here. And this is my question on the parasha for this week. The very first Rashi explains why they were counted. So Rashi tells us, Mitechi Basan, Maina Oysan, because of God's love for Klal Yisrael, he counted them. And Rashi explains, Kishanafu Be'egel Manon. Earlier, when they fell at the Egel, the Rebbeinu Shalom counted them in Parshas Kisisa. U'kishabala hashrois shechina say alayhem onam. And here, where the shechina was going to be shayran, then was going to resign, Hashem counted them. Becha b'nissen hukanama mishkan, becha di'ir monam. On the first day of Nissen, the mishkan was stood up. On the first day of Ir, they were counted. Question. Rashi says, kishabala mahashrois shechina alayhem onam. When God came to put the Shekhinah upon them, he counted them. But I don't understand. The Shekhinah came down on Echad B'Nissan, on the first day of Nissan. The counting was not until the first day of Iyar. How can Rashi explain that Shabbat Hashrei Shekhinah Fe'alei Amonah? It's not so. Not true. It was after the Hashrei Shekhinah that they were counted. Seems to be a dramatic problem with Rashi. Rashi seems to be inconsistent. This is really my question for the week. I do have to add that someone had already offered me a teretz, which was he saw in Reb Aaron Lapiansky's beautiful sefer on Chumash. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that when it comes to collecting taxes, who's considered a resident of the city? Someone is in the city for 30 days. After 30 days, you're considered to be a real resident. If that's the case, it's beautiful. Kishabala Hashrei Shechina, when the Shechina came to reside among Klal Yisrael, Manam, they were counted. After 30 days that the Shechina was in Klal Yisrael, from Shredish Nisan to Shredish Iyar, then they counted Klal Yisrael. Nice Vart, a nice thought, so I mean, I'm shot in Rashi. Those are my three thoughts on that. Let me turn for a few minutes to Perek Gimel. I might tell you a thought that I had. At the end of Perek Gimel, Ruth gets up and is assured by Boaz that they would be married the next day. Either Toi would marry her, or I'll marry you. And sends her home. When he sends her home, by Yomet Sheish Sayrim, he gives her some barley to take home. She comes home. When she gets home, she tells her mother-in-law, Sheish Sayrim Ha'ela Nosamli, he gave me this barley, Ki Omar Elai, because he said to me, Al Tavayi Reka Mochamaseh. Don't come empty-handed to your mother-in-law. This is for your mother-in-law. There's a problem here. How did she know it was for the mother-in-law? Boaz didn't say it was for the mother-in-law. As a matter of fact, Rashi brings on the Sheish Sa'irim that the reason that he gave her Sheish Sa'irim was to give her a remez that she would have a child who would be blessed with the six blessings of Ruach Chachma, Bina, Eitza, Gevura, and Ruach Das, Yiras Hashem. So, from where did it come that she should assume that it was for the mother-in-law? Maybe it was for her. And two things that we do, which each one may be a terrence to answer this question. One, our meaning is that Chos and Kala fast on the wedding day. I don't know if Makar is enough for it, but perhaps this is a Makar. Ruth received Sheish Sa'irim. She knew that by the next evening she would be living in Boaz's home. She took Sheish Sa'irim home. What were they for? For her to eat. But Boaz had assured her she would get married the next day, and a kala fast on the wedding day. So in Mela she understood that the purpose of the Sheish Sa'irim was to be brought home for the mother. Perhaps a remez here to her fasting. There is a second possibility, and also something that would make a good practice. Chazal tell us that Mutar L'Shanayis B'Neha Sholay, a person is allowed to lie for peace. And certainly when it comes to in-law situations, that is such a situation, it is a worthy situation, to say a lie, to be mechavev one person to another. Here it was, Ruth was coming with Nami, and actually living in Nami's home, and now Boaz would come and sort of take her away. So she perhaps was mishanim at Me'ah Shalom. She said, oh, I'm coming home with food, it's for you. He wanted to be for you, because Ruth wanted to be mechaved, the relationship between Boaz and Nami. Al tavoi yireka machamaseach, don't go home empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Give her what to eat. So, two possible terutzim, two possible types of behavior. In closing, I would like to encourage everybody as Shavuos comes close to be sure to stay up and learn Shavuos by night. It's an important custom. Some people, especially working people who are tired, complain that it's not worth it, they don't cover much ground, they get drowsy, etc. The complaints are legitimate. Staying up Shavuos by night is primarily an expression of dedication to Limud HaTorah. It's a thought, it's an expression, it's a feeling. People say, oh, I could learn 5 hours by day. It's not true. I go to shul to try to learn Shavuos by day as well. The people there are the people that were up. Don't kid yourself, not the people that were sleeping. One sleeping at night, us sleeping by day. It's an expression of dedication. Now, of course, you should do it, not just as an expression of dedication, but to learn as well. So I have to tell you, a great skula is a skula to be able to stay up Shavuos by night. Skula is to take a nap Erev Shavuos by day. It really works. Try it, put effort into it, put kaychus into it. They believe you're making an early Shavuos. We don't make an early Shavuos. Be ready earlier and get yourself ready by taking a good nap and being able to learn Shavuos by night. Find the chavrusa, find the shir, mix the chavrusa and the shir, and make it happen. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't create coffee except for Shavuos by night. A good Shabbos, everyone. We'll be speaking again on next Thursday, which is Yom Tov, but Be'ezus Hashem in 2 weeks, on Thursday of Parshas Bahalai.